I speak to you in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On stage stands a table arranged with an elaborate feast. The king and queen enter, followed by their court, and as everyone moves to their seats, a shrouded man appears in the doorway. The king speaks to him with hushed tones. He is an assassin, reporting to the king that the man whom the king ordered to be murdered is now dead. Returning to his guests, the king is about to sit at the head of the royal table, but freezes, horrified at the sight of the dead man's ghost already seated in his chair. Some of you may have guessed this is the scene from Shakespeare's Macbeth. And it mirrors something that's happening behind the scenes in today's gospel reading. Like Macbeth, Herod orders the death of an innocent man. And like Macbeth, Herod is haunted by the dead man's ghost. But the gospel is less obvious than a stage production. John the Baptist's ghost doesn't visit Herod at a dinner party, but he is present in the mind of Herod the moment Herod first learns about Jesus. The text tells us that Jesus' name had become widely known, but hints that perhaps Jesus was never really known by Herod. When Herod heard about Jesus, he believed that John, whom he beheaded, had been reincarnated in Jesus. Now, adult learning theory tells us that a major difference between how children learn something new and how adults learn something new is that adult learning can't take place until adults connect new information being presented to some old experience from the past. As I understand it, and some of you may know more than me, the theory accounts for the lack of an adult brain's plasticity, the ability for our neurons and synapses to change shape. Adults create fewer new neurons than children do, so to compensate, our brains connect old synapses together, connecting our old ideas to new ones and trying to help us make meaning. This may be what we see happening in the gospel lesson with Herod. When Herod hears of Jesus, he connects the new information about Jesus to an old experience with John the Baptist, and he makes meaning. Jesus is John the Baptist. But because he does this, Herod misses out on learning who Jesus really is. Have you ever had that feeling that you missed an opportunity to really get to know someone because all you could see in them was a reflection of a ghost from your past? Maybe it was your first date out after a breakup or a divorce, and all you could see in your new dinner date was your ex and the way the lips of the person across from you smacked together while chewing. Or maybe it was right after you moved to a new place looking to make friends, but all you could see in the text message that read, "Sorry, but I can't make it tonight," was the list of those old friends you thought you had who ended up never being very good at showing up when you needed them most. Sometimes we think we already know who someone is, so we cancel the second date, we ignore the almost friend's phone call. We never give them the chance to tell us who they are for themselves. Who are you? Is the question Lutheran pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer says is the most important question we can ask another person, because it is the religious question, a question of transcendence that seeks more than information. It seeks connection. Who are you is the question that allows us to really know one another. King Herod was given a chance to know Jesus during the last week of Jesus' life. The story comes after today's gospel lesson. The soldiers had already taken Jesus before Pilate to be judged and sentenced, but Pilate was afraid to crucify an innocent man, so he sent Jesus to Herod for judgment. But instead of asking Jesus who he is, the Gospels say that Herod asked Jesus to perform a miracle to entertain him and his friends. Why wouldn't Herod ask Jesus if the rumors about him were true? Why he was there in front of him? Is it really true that you're the Son of Man and the Son of God? But it never happens. Maybe because Herod thought he already knew who Jesus is. He's John, the man that I beheaded, right? The way adult brains learn may work well for us when we're trying to learn about a new subject or topic, but not necessarily when we're trying to learn about a person. To learn about people, we have to account for more than how the brain works. We have to account for how the heart works, too. If we take another look at today's gospel text, the story of John's beheading, we'll find that Herod never really wanted to have John killed. The text says that Herod was deeply grieved when he gave the order for the execution. And that's the same word in Greek that was used to describe Jesus' feeling when he was sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane just before his crucifixion, deeply, deeply grieved. It was Herod's grief that brought that ghost from his past into the present and limited his ability to get to know someone new. Ultimately, the person before him that he missed meeting was God. Who in your life are you having a hard time getting to know? Does a particular experience of grief from your past hinder you from connecting with them? Is there a record on repeat in the back of your mind that shapes your assumptions about another person? Theologian and former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, says that in order for us to really know someone else, we must first allow them to become strange to us. Strange enough that we finally know we can't figure them out without their help. And in order to do this, he tells us that we must first allow our own histories, our own experience, to be made strange to ourselves. We have to believe that there's new learning for us in our pasts, new meaning to make from those old wounds, those old stories, so that we don't have to keep repeating them with other people. If we can give ourselves the space to re-narrate the grief from our past, we just may be able to find the space in the present to let someone else be who they are without our help. Jesus himself moved through that fear and grief in Gethsemane. And he meets us on the other side of the cross so that he can ask us who we are and help us find ourselves in that question. He invites us to receive him and receive others, not as adult learners, but like children. Children whose synapses and neurons are not yet inflexible. Children whose minds are open to the possibilities of the future, whose hearts are open to relationships in all of their strangeness. Each Sunday we come together to celebrate our shared knowing of a man who is also our God, whom we have come to know by eating his body and drinking his blood in the form of bread and wine, If you can already receive someone that strange, I wonder who else you might be open to receiving today.